Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Travis fell in love with the perfect woman. Beautiful, understanding, available 24/7. There was just one catch. She wasn't human. Binge all episodes of Flesh and Code early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
My name is TJ Raphael. I'm the host of Liberty Lost, a new podcast about who gets to be a mother and the control of young women hidden behind the veil of faith. Binge all episodes of Liberty Lost ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Hi everyone, welcome back. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're wondering where part one was, well, go check in the feed and be sure to subscribe so that way you always get your episodes. But enough of that, let's get right back into the episode. Okay, so
Daniel is so he saying goodbye now? Okay, good.
He leaves. Bye. Daniel says his goodbyes. And Lisa comes out of the bathroom. And Gertie tells us, as I'm having my issues with Julia, all I want is to have someone say, you know what? I have empathy and let me help you make it right with the other. Which, by the way, that would have been a good role for Daniel to play.
Thank you.
Someone saying, I have empathy and let me help you make it right.
I mean, it seems
if only there were like a self-help guru here.
Know, like a mediator that could actually, you know, help them, direct them.
Yeah. Someone who specializes in interpersonal relationships. God, too bad they didn't have one. Mm. But Gertie decides that, you know what? Just because no one did that for her doesn't mean that like she wants to still pay it forward. So if no one does it for her, she can do it for someone else. So she decides she's going to mediate between Larsa and Lisa. Mm. So she gathers them. She gathers the two of them and she brings them over to like... She brings him over to like a little bench, a lot of bench activity.
So many benches in this garden. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a metaphor. Now, not every bench has a back. So you have to learn to hold your back up straight without any help. That's why Alexia is in a large throne with golden wings on it because she doesn't know how to stand on her own.
It's important for me that you're sitting on a metaphor because what we want to do with this narcissistic behavior is bench it. So we're going to take it and we're going to bench it. It's the name of my next book called Don't Let Benches Affect You, Stupid.
Help me pick the color of the bench.
So they sit down. And Gertie's like, okay, just the two of you. Okay, listen to each other. Listen to each other. Okay, have a talk. Communicate, okay? I will be right over here. I'm going to watch you talk. Okay, Larsa, would you like to start talking? Larsa, please start and please say. Please say what you need to say to Lisa.
I was trying not to fight with you today. I know you and I just wanted to talk. This has been going on since another season, which I think we only have summer here.
Don't mention.
In Miami, but I feel like it's happened since even four summers ago. And I feel like I've been afraid.
You know what? I need to moderate. I'm sorry. I'm coming in. I'm a mediator. Okay. All right. All right.
Am I wrong?
You keep sitting there. Okay.
Another
all right. And scene. I'm going to sit right over here. Okay. Now continue.
Larsa, I have been a good friend to you lately.
He's been a good friend.
Okay.
A good friend.
Well, I have been a good friend to you in the past.
And a good friend back in the past. Yep.
And Gertie, we don't need you to meditate,
no,
Gertie.
You do. You know, I'm going to meditate and mediate. Yeah, say something about Jody. They need to be alone. Say something about Jody.
Jody, you need to be alone. Is that what you want for me?
Okay, you know what? This isn't really working. Okay. The fact that like the two of them were talking and Gertie kept on jumping in, I was dying. I was cracking up in this scene.
It was one of the best scenes I've ever seen. It really was. And she was far enough away like a ref would be, you know, like yeah. a baseball ref, like behind, you know, home plate. Or it was just so good.
She was like talking back to the screen. It was like she was at the movies and she was talking back, and they finally were like, okay, let's just go meet at a restaurant. We can't do this with Gertie here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not going to be fixed today. Yeah. It's not going to be fixed. We'll figure it out, but not today. Not today.
No. So then now this whole party is officially over. And now we see some stuff going on around town. Adriana is, she has a textbook out and she's talking to her dog about personality disorders. Mm-hmm. Is she studying?
It's the DSM-5. It's like the official book, the official book for that all therapists, counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists, everybody. It's the Bible or dictionary, if you will, of what every single mental health condition and beyond means and is, and it gets legitimized in this book. And that's why it's 5, because there have been 5 versions. This is the 5th version, so they update it as things get, you know how you change things from, I don't know. So, for example, what was the... Munchausen by proxy. Okay. Mm-hmm. That is no longer called that. That's called fictitious disorder. So because Munchausen was like the person that discovered what this is. So they named it after that person. And it's just such a weird name. So they're calling it what it is instead of after that person. So they go in and they change it in this book. And correct me if I'm wrong, but that's how I understand it to be. It's like the go-to.
Wow. So I wonder, is Adriana studying to be a therapist? Is that something that we learned somewhere along the way that it sounds vaguely familiar?
It does, but I'm confused too.
I'm confused also, and also concerned for her future clients. So let's be honest. Could you imagine your therapist is Adriana DeMora? What about me? Let me ask you a question. Have you heard hit song Miami's on fire?
Well, remember when she did ketamine last year? She is on this journey of therapy. So maybe she just has it for her own sake.
And she is very scholarly. Like she, she has a few degrees. She speaks a lot of languages. I didn't go. Does she have a degree from this? This could be totally wrong, but does she have a degree from like Harvard or something like that? Or
like University of Paris, or I don't know.
Well, yeah,
she does have degrees, art degrees, and she's very intelligent. Yeah.
She is. She has. She's like very studied. So this makes sense. Mm-hmm. Lisa is getting some like her butt electrocuted. So it's like, yeah, this is the equivalent of 20,000 squats. She's like, I'm in.
Jeez. Wow.
And then we just see her butt just bobbling, undulating, bubbling and bobbling. Kiki takes her daughter to dance class, and now we arrive at Julia's house, and a social worker named Connie shows up, and Connie's doing a check-in to make sure that the new kids are okay, etc. And so Julia's, you know, being very nice to this lady, and she's saying, I just cannot stop smiling because Martina is spoiling the boys so much. They have this incredibly cute relationship, and Martina is good at everything. Of course, she will be a great mom. So it's another scene of them talking about their growing family, which is feels a little cringe in the wake of Martina's tweet earlier this week about how surrogacy is wrong.
Yeah.
And you saw that tweet.
I sure
surrogacy
did.
She said surrogacy is wrong. Sometimes we can't have it all. I'm like, you're literally sitting through a 2-year storyline about your adoption process. Like sometimes you can have it all, by the way, I would like to say.
It was very insensitive and close-minded, you know, just having blinders on of not recognizing what's really happening in the world and other people. Like, yeah,
it's also just like, it's like what a random hill to die on. Like, why are you coming for surrogacy? You know, if it helps people like achieve the dreams of their family and help someone else actually earn like a paycheck, like why not?
I know.
You know,
I was pretty shocked by that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was gross. So Julia's just going on, and she basically is having this whole scene where she talks about how, that her kids
friends came over, or her family came over, and then the kids were very trepidatious, and she recognized that. I appreciated her talking about that.
Yeah, I wonder, like, I'm just curious. I wonder if, like, is the approach to protect the kids until they feel more comfortable around strangers, or is it like exposure therapy to be like, no, like, you're going to have to get used to people coming by. I'm very curious of what seems to be the better approach for something like that, because there's a part of me that feels like, oh, don't start sheltering the kids away from strangers too much, because then they may like not socialize properly.
I don't know. That's a good point.
I don't know what the right, you know, but then those kids have gone through trauma of having gone to different households and stuff like that. And there is some desire to have normalcy. So this is sort of interesting. I think
it's smart to pull back at first. If she noticed that was the reaction, I think it's smart to be overly cautious, at least for a while, and then start.
Yeah, they are new in the house. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And make life like safe and, you know, calm for them.
Yeah, yeah. Get that foundation.
Yes, exactly. Sing some opera to them. Oh, just calm their nerves.
So much opera.
Just calm those nerves with some sweet tunes. Now we go over to Stephanie. She's having a dinner with her husband, Masood, and her parents, Nelly and Joe Biden.
Hurtado.
I was like,
Nelly and Joe Biden. You're so funny.
I was like, what? Joe Biden has a secret family here in Miami?
Hilarious. I did not see
Nelly
that coming.
Nelly and Hurtado.
That's really funny.
He looks just like Joe Biden.
Yeah, right? I didn't even think about it, but you're so right. When he smiled, yes.
It was 100% Joe Biden. So Stephanie is like, anything that has to do with my parents worries me. I mean, if they have a migraine, I worry. If a hurricane's coming, I'm devastated. I installed their Nest and Ring cameras in their house, and I haven't even told them I could see them in their house. Is that weird? I think it might be criminal. I mean, it's not criminal, right? It's your parents. What if they fall? I want to know.
I know. I was like, Jax, is that you?
The spirit of Jax lives on.
Yeah.
So she is really attached to her parents, and her dad is only about like a year or two. Yeah. They're not that
2 years,
I think,
right?
2 years. Yeah, just 2 years.
65. That was shocking.
That's really close.
I mean,
I understand May, December relationships, it happens that way, but
absolutely,
that's really close.
It just, it really took us to the reality of what that must have been like for her dad or her mom, even just hello, nice to meet you. But they're such a match. That's what's wild about it, is they really do. She's an old soul. She loves to work, and they work together.
He loves doing TikTok dances. So he's a young soul. And they are just a wacky, wacky duo. I want him to show up like with a skateboard. Be like, and a boombox. Be like, hey, what's going on? I'm a young soul.
Yeah, Masood. Bandana.
Masood.
Young Masood. DJ Young Masood.
DJ Young Masood. So Stephanie is talking about business, because she loves business. She goes, you know, I feel like a lot of what I am as a businesswoman comes from my dad. It really does. I mean, I was literally raised like a boy. Okay. And like, learn to ride a bike. Don't cry. You can do it. You're not quitting. Keep going. It was like that. And he told me the weak people will never survive. And then the dad is like, yes, it's a saying of mine. Always have a knife in your mouth and let's move forward.
My dad always says that. I love how he has these sayings. It's so good. It's so much better than those sayings on the mirror. It's just like great. Just they're threatening.
Always have a knife in your mouth.
Yeah. They're borderline threatening, but they make you a stronger person.
Can I just say this? Hot take. I don't want a knife in my mouth. That feels dangerous and scary. What if I trip?
I don't know.
It's not safe. That's not safe. You should leave your knife in a holster or some sort of sheath.
Sheath.
And leave it at home. If I saw Stella with a knife in her mouth, I would say, young lady, you are coming back to Orange County right this moment.
You leave that rave right now, young lady. I see. I can see you on FaceTime, and that knife is not in a sheath.
Have you been out after 2 a.m. dancing with a knife in your mouth? Young lady, you are leaving Paris right this moment.
God, mom. Can't even have a knife anymore.
If you have a sheathless knife in your mouth, you'll die. You'll die. You'll die. Someone will die.
Someone will die. Earl the Pearl. I saw him holding a butter knife and I said, don't put that in your mouth unless you've got a sheath for it.
Yeah.
And he said, why are you always coming down on me?
He said, I'm trying to be a pirate. And I was playing games. I was playing sex games. I said, I don't like that. It's too dangerous.
It's too dangerous. Maybe if you ate some more vegetables, I would trust you with that knife. But until I see you using that knife on a carrot, I just don't know. Earl the Pearl, the original pirate.
The original pirate.
He's the first ever. Did people don't realize.
Pirate, darling, did somebody say pirate?
Oh, pirates! New song I'm working on. And now for a limited time only, Countess Luann and Julia.
Julia, Herzog, Julia.
Blosh in Russian. What's her last name again?
Herzegovina? I don't know.
Julia and Countess Luann sing the hits.
In a round.
River. In our canoe on the Moon River, paddling slowly, even though the moon is covered by a cloud.
Cloud.
I don't really know the lyrics to Moon River beyond Moon River. Hmm. Moon River. And then I'm like, I don't know the rest.
Sure.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So, Stephanie starts talking about her siblings, and basically they're not talking, and the siblings aren't talking to the parents either, and that they're like, oh God, they're so sensitive. No one talks to them. Like, oh my God. And so Stephanie's saying she wants to make it better, and she is planning to make it better, but I don't think it's going to get better. I think this is going to be one of those classic situations where it's going to be like, well, you keep talking about us on your TV show and you're just making it seem like you're the hero, and that's gonna make them like her even less.
I agree, Ben. And then the dad getting in there. You're welcome. And then the dad getting in there and being like, you know, because Stephanie said they're very sensitive, and he's like, a lot.
Oh God.
Sensitive. I was like, oh,
not even a toothpick in their teeth.
Right.
Let alone a knife.
Let alone. Yeah. And I just thought, don't do this. And the best thing that happened was the mom was like, please don't. I'm going to cry, you know, because
yeah,
this was starting to be dangerous for her making up with them on this show, which I know she would like to do. So our only hope is if the sisters are thirsty enough for fame that they'll be willing to make up on television.
One can only dream.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a great track record with these kind of things, but the dad going on TV and being like, oh God, they're so sensitive. It's not going to be very helpful.
From a different planet, he said. Like, oh my God.
I forgot. From a different, they're like aliens. Yeah. And not like the not cute, sexy aliens. They're like Elf. It's like, I've got two daughters and they both look like Elf. Who wants that?
Bad. It's like, really bad.
Dad, stop it. So now we go to Gertie and Russell, and they go to couples therapy. And this is just a very nice scene where they talk about, you know, the trauma of cancer. And Gertie is saying how she really wants like she wants Russell to be in a couple with Russell again, and not that he has to be the caretaker as much anymore. This was such a lovely scene, and I got a little misty eyed. I'm not going to lie, as she talked about like the struggles and how there was a point where she was saying that she like was like, I don't care what happens. Maybe if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. And then he was like, no, I need you. Mm. And I was like that kind of got me a little bit there.
Me too, Ben, because I mean, this is the part of like when you struggle with cancer, a lot of the times you don't see the rebuilding portion when you survive. and you may be continuing treatment, but you don't really get to hear about the trauma with your partner during that time. Mm-hmm. And it was so touching to hear Russell say, well, no, when I look at you, it's not like I feel like a caretaker. When I look at you, I'm in awe. I'm so proud of you. I can't believe you're so strong. And we got to see Gertie hear that for the first time in this therapy session. And she was so emotional. It was amazing.
I got like chills when he said, you know, you always say I'm traumatized. I'm not traumatized. I'm amazed. I'm proud of you. I was like, oh,
I know.
I was like, that kind of took my breath away a little bit. Like, that was just such a beautiful and wonderful thing to say. I mean, like, season after season, Russell really shows up to be like a great husband on this show.
One of the greatest husbands I think we've ever seen.
Yeah, because how many husbands have we seen or boyfriends on various other Bravo shows where like the wife is going through something, whether it's pregnancy or postpartum or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then the husband like steps out on her and it's like, well, I just wasn't getting the attention, or yada, yada, yada. We just are reading the gossip about Sheena and Brock, how he cheated on her when she was pregnant. And he was like, I just felt like I didn't deserve to be another father again. There's always some bullshit excuse.
Right.
But then it's like nice to see someone like Russell who's like, I'm just going to stand by my wife's side and be like the best husband I possibly can be to her.
Unbelievable.
It's great.
Unprecedented, really.
Yeah, he's so great. And then Gertie talks about her abandonment issues that she has. And she talks about how she was basically dropped off in Miami. And like the rest of her family got to live in France. And so she kind of felt like left out. And that may be like the root of like a lot of her reactions to things.
Yeah, that is traumatizing. I mean, wow.
It's wild.
And then we got to see her react to Russell in that moment for the first time. And then in the confessional, she had another epiphany. She was like, maybe that happened to me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's really like, showing it all.
She's having like a triple header of epiphanies. Cause she's like, I mean, you don't understand what it's like to be dropped off at a cousin's house. And then you don't see your parents for another, you don't see your father for 3 more months. And you're just wondering, when's he going to come back to get me? Wait a second. Maybe this is why I act the way I do. I never thought about that before.
I know. And it's funny because she doesn't even need a therapist to come to her own conclusions because she's talking so much. She can direct herself into that discovery.
She can do it all herself.
Mm-hmm.
So she gratified her therapy. So now it's the main event. With Lisa and Larsa are going to meet up to finally settle the score. Like, just like, let's move forward. Get back to being the best friends that they are, you know? Yeah. So let's like sit down and like let's talk.
Yeah.
Like, how long can it be before we like sit down? Like, honestly, like, right?
Yeah.
Like,
right. Well, so like, I just feel like you weren't. I wasn't. Well, I don't want to be here, but I'm here. So, I just really feel like you're not a good friend. So.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know what? There's like a lot to dive into. Okay. Because like, you know what? Like there's a lot.
Yeah. But like we've been having issues since the summer because I've never been thrown out of someone's house before. Like,
yeah. And I've never been sworn out like that at my house before. Okay. So see flashbacks of like the first episode when they like fought, you know, and Lisa threw her out of the house, you know, and Lisa's like, you know what? Jody, he got heated because of Marcus, because it's a touchy subject. Marcus Jordan, very touchy subject for Jody. Obviously, you know, Marcus is a very central person in Jody's life.
So, very.
Like, you have to tread lightly.
They're so tight.
So tight. Bros. Bros before hoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's never truer than when you look at Marcus and Jody.
I know. And Lars is always like, he met him through me. He met him through me. He met him through me. Is that true?
Yeah, because Lars is the one who brought Marcus into the group.
Right. Okay, so they didn't actually know each other before the show.
No,
okay.
Jody fully latched on to Marcus. And I'm just, it's also like, really, can't you do better, Jody? Yeah. So Lars is like,
well, Jody said to me, you're the one that had the paparazzi take the photo of Marcus in the south of France. And I said, me? What am I? The CIA? And that's what started it all.
Well, the paparazzi guy told us, and he told that to Jody, and Jody told me, and then I told Jody, and Jody told, I told, so that's how it happened, Larsa.
What? Wait, you're full of shit.
That was the sound.
I'm doing the Foley. I'm doing the sound effects on the soundtrack.
Who said that's, you're such a narcissist. Who said you could even do the Foley and the sound effects? That should be split up amongst all of us as a cast. And you didn't even talk to any of us about doing that. And Lenny, oh, I'm sorry. Jody has a problem with that too. Why are you saying that? Why are you saying that I'm full of shit? Also, why?
You know why? You know why? Because you're running low on friends, and I'm the only friend that literally took the time to meet you for lunch. Because guess what? No one else is at this lunch but me, because I'm like the only one that took the time. Because guess what? I picked up my watch, and I was like, look, I'm taking my time, because I'm taking the time, because it's a watch, and I took it.
I'm not running low on friends. I'm running low on cocaine. AC. I'm running low.
It's a little hot in here. No. She gets some AC.
You change friends. You change underwear.
Working out slowly.
And
one word at a time. Just choose it. Here's what I do. Look around, find an object that's near you, and then use that. Okay.
So you flicker your friendships like that fake candle over there that is never going to go out like it should.
You know what? You can't be in my sun because that's, you're like that awning because you can't be in my sun. Awning face. See, it works. Just find an object.
Okay, that was actually a good one, but I'm not an awning face, okay? You should worry about your window treatments inside of your house and not mine on the outside, because your darkness and your drapes need to be trimmed.
Well, I'm sorry that you don't like the window into my personality, because it's a personality that has a lot of options, like a menu, and I'm going to order a crab cake from myself, my personality, and a Diet Coke, please.
The waiter's like, you don't have to keep doing your bit while I'm taking your order.
How about I order also to split the tuna tartare with you and your stupid games that you play? Please.
Tuna tartare, something that's not cooked at all. Like Lisa's personality. Ha, raw. You're raw, but not in a commendable way.
Commendable. Not sure she would say that, but yeah.
So basically, Larsa's. I did like when you mentioned before when Larsa was like, you're a narcissist. She goes, you know what? I'm a narcissist. You're a narcissist. I was like, okay, Lisa, yeah, that was pretty good.
Lisa has had some good ones. Last week when she called Stephanie a boss baby in her confessional, she had me. I was like, nice.
That was a good one. You know, she gets it right. Like once, at least once an episode, she gets one in. She gets one in.
She does.
So Lisa goes off to the bathroom and she calls Alexia to cry. And she's just like, she's just going on. She's like, you know, it's doing that Lisa sobbing, venting thing. And Alexia does not care. Alexia is clearly like getting her nails done and just giving her like generic support. You know, she's like, oh yeah. Lisa's like, oh my God, I can't believe what she said to me. And she called me all these things. She said, there's red flags. Everyone hates you. You have no friends. Yeah, no, that's terrible. No, that's not nice. That's not nice. Yeah. That's not true.
That's so generic.
Not true.
No. I want the poppy red. What? No, just you're just popping red mad right now, Lisa. Don't worry about it.
I'll do the paraffin, please. What? I mean, you are a parent and you are fantastic.
Oh, okay, right. I am. But hold on, I'm getting kicked out of the bathroom by a stranger.
Because there's a lady in the stall. Lisa is, she is sobbing and she's going on and on and on. And there's a lady in the stall. And you just see the camera just keeps showing this woman's feet. Just like, oh my God, I want to leave this bathroom stall. But there's a woman having a meltdown outside by the sink.
I can't believe if my feet were filmed under a stall, I would feel so violated.
It is kind of violating.
Yeah.
And then they cut back to Larsa, and Larsa's just waiting, and Larsa is fine. She's like, I don't care how long it takes. She is on her social media. She's like watching a Trump speech.
That was amazing. That we need more of that. I want to see what these housewives are looking at.
She's like, oh wow. But then she goes from like the Trump speech to like a makeup tutorial.
Yeah, yeah. It's some sort of influencer. Yeah. Just passing the time.
Just a day in the life of Larsa Pippen, mm-hmm. going from Trump
to fashion.
Makeup tutorial.
Yep.
Fashion, whatever. So then Lisa is like really, she's moved from the bathroom and now she's just gone into the restaurant and she is top. She's like, and another thing, I made it to Hoda Pierce. Everyone's piling up on me. I just lost my dad. I mean, it's so hurtful. And you don't understand. And the host comes up to her and goes, miss, excuse me. Hi, you're being a little loud. Can you go outside, please?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you outside? Oh, okay. Okay. Uh-huh. It happens to her all the time. She's used to it.
Oh my God. It was so amazing. Yeah. She didn't even get mad at the host. She was like, Yeah. I'm just
heard it before. Right. It just rolls right over. Yeah. I know the drill. It's amazing to me because they go into these restaurants and when they have cameras, they feel like they're infallible. They can just do and say whatever they want in a public place. And they never think that they're going to be approached about shutting up or quieting down ever.
Yeah. And it was like, I think this is the first time we ever saw someone on the history of the Real Housewives. We ever saw an employee say, you're being a little too loud. We're going to need you to step outside.
Okay. That's what I thought.
There's a very strange lady out there watching a makeup tutorial. Maybe you want to sit with her. I don't know. Oh, that's your friend. Great. Even better.
Yes. See how quiet she's being? That's your example.
They're gonna give Lisa one of those like iPads that's like for kids, that's like in the shape of like a frog, and be like, here, would you like this?
Right, and some crayons. And the menu, like a kid's menu.
A maze. Oh God, Lisa will be stuck on that maze for a few hours.
Yeah. Lenny used to do all the mazes.
What's even the point? Why are you in the maze in the first place? So she comes back. And she's like, you know, I don't even know what to say. Like, I'm really hurt. Like, and I think that like, maybe you wanted that. Maybe you wanted to hurt me. And Lars is like, how am I trying to hurt you? Like by telling you to be a better friend? Like what have I done to you besides be there for you and X, Y, Z and this and that?
Yeah.
So
like, you always say that. You always say that. You're always saying stuff like that.
You can call me anytime. I always answer. Okay. The moral of the story is that like, I was like looking for you, like to be like a better friend to me and this and that and X, Y, Z. And like, that's where it all stemmed from. Cause like, I love you. And I'm sorry I came to Jody's party and called you a bitch, even though you were totally being a bitch. I'm sorry you lost your dad and it felt like it wasn't there for you, even though it was totally there for you. You're being such a bitch about it. Maybe I should have been like, I don't know, more there for you. Cause you're such a bitch. You don't even realize it like that. But can you accept some responsibility in being a bitch?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if I would have known all that stuff was happening and like, I would have known about your emotions. I didn't know you had feelings and like emotions because you've never called me to tell me that. And you've never told me about that you even had them or were given them by anyone. So I'm sorry for that I didn't know you had emotions. And I, you know, I'm just like, when you have your feelings and you felt them, like, I just didn't think they were real. So it was like hard to understand you.
Yeah, no, I get it. So, I think we both just have to do a better job of communicating and like picking up the phone and then like putting the phone down again and then picking it up and then maybe put it down again. It's called a workout. Not everything. Our situation went too long. It's gone on forever. Like, I hate it.
I hate it. I hate you. I mean, I don't like having conflicts. So, I mean, like, I'm okay with this. And I got a really good storyline right now. So, I mean, it's probably about time we make up.
Yeah. And so they, you know, they basically are like, we don't like conflict. We don't need to do this anymore. And like, I miss you and I love you. And so they hug. And the customary Larsa versus Lisa early season fight finds resolution at long last. Mm. And we'll see how long it lasts. But for right now, they are smiling and happy and in a good place again. It's beautiful that Julia came to celebrate that moment for them.
Truly.
So that was it. That was the end of the episode. Amy, a joy as always. I just have so much fun. So much fun talking to you, okay?
Oh my God, I do too.
I'm sorry. I'm just a hilarious person.
I'm sorry too. Okay. Thank you.
You know what? I was talking to my best friend / daughter, Avery. And you know what she said? Doesn't matter what she said because she looks older than I do. Okay. Avery looks old. I look young. Okay. Sorry.
Oh my God. She does probably say that verbatim.
Well, for a while she said like, we look like we're sisters, but now she probably says like, well, my daughter looks older than me. That's how good my skin routine is. Okay.
Somebody said to me the other day, I was shopping. Okay. I was getting ingredients for chicken a la Florence. I can't remember the chicken she was making during COVID. It was like, oh damn. It was like this
chicken a la chicken Mar-a-Lago.
That's what it was. Yeah. Yeah. And somebody said, you know what? You look younger than your daughter. And I was like, what? Okay. All right. I'm going to say it. I'm going to repeat it. That's what it is.
And I do. And you know what? It's all thanks to this painter's tape. It's called Stick Blue Painter's Tape. And it's really good. And I love it. And I use it a lot. And it makes me feel young. So everyone go get some painter's tape. Okay. This is a sponsored post.
Stick Blue Painter's Tape.
Because her sponsored content is, her SponCon is hilarious whenever she's like promoting something. Ugh.
Yes.
I'm just a terrible person, but hilarious content.
Oh, you got that right.
Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Well, you also provide hilarious content. Could you remind everyone where they can find you so that way they go like subscribe to your podcast and all those good things?
Well, thanks, guys. Just subscribe to Drama Darling anywhere you listen to podcasts. Give it a follow, give it a like, give it a nice review if you'd like. And then also over on Patreon, you can find me and all of my other darling co-hosts there. I'm at Meet Amy Phillips. We got at Deanna M. Chang. We got M. DeRizis, Jam Moyer. I mean, all the stuff. Thanks for listening and thanks for having me again.
Of course, you are a darling. And thanks so much for filling in for Ronnie twice. Really appreciate it. And we will catch everyone on our next episode. Bye, everyone.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto. Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
The Bay Area Betches.
bitches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.